If you would, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And you don't have to stand right now. I have you stand here in a minute, okay? I'll keep you here for 30 minutes, brother, if you were to stand right now, okay? But just want you to turn there, then I have you stand. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, Peter is the author of this this great book here. And you ever done a study on Peter? You ever found out some things about Peter? You know, Peter, other than the Lord Jesus Christ in the four gospel, Peter was mentioned more than any other person. Anybody? You know, the Lord said more harsh things to Peter than he did any other disciple. You know, Peter was just like us. You know, Peter had an anger problem, didn't he? He sure did. You know, remember he cut off the soldier's ear. Remember that? That anger problem. Peter had a problem with forgiveness too, didn't he? Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Remember that? That was Peter. You know, hey, that was Peter. That was Peter when he even made the great statement of the Lord said, who did I say that I am? You know, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was Peter. You know, Peter also was the one that walked the water. Was that Peter? Yes, that was Peter. You know, Peter had a lot of things that was in his life. And it does reminds me of myself. Peter had a pride problem too, didn't he? Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Peter had that problem. You know, Peter rebuked the Lord. Remember? You know, Peter denied the Lord. Remember that? That was Peter. You know, Peter one made the statement, I'll go fishing. Guess what? And the rest of them followed him. Peter had a great influence on the other disciples, did he not? And Peter was. Peter had some big problems here. Then the Lord told Peter to feed his sheep. Y'all remember that? And then finally, I like this part. You know, the Lord said unto Peter, that Satan had desired, remember, to sift him as wheat, okay? But he said, but I pray for you, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. That's what I want to help you with tonight. And this is from the book of Peter. And praise the Lord, this book been written so many years ago, amen, and it's prevalent, it's good for us today. Now, some things I want to mention to you tonight, and really is in verse 7 is casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Now tonight, and this is a very simple, we all know that verse, but y'all ready for this? Now please take off your mask tonight. How many of you have tried casting your care upon the Lord and knowing that he cared for you and you still had the same problem? Raise your hand. Come on now. If you don't want to raise your hand, you're not here tonight. But I want to help you tonight, so I'm give you some prerequisites so how to go about doing this. And you'll leave here tonight different than the way you came, okay? Now, can I say this to you? This is not an elective. You know what elective means? You know, you have been in school and some subjects that you really don't have to take. You know what I'm saying? Well, this option. You really don't have to take this one. You know, this is required. Okay, this is a required course, just like, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, and all of those things are required, okay? So listen, there's no electives here. There's no way, well, I can take this or I can leave it. No. This is what you need tonight. So let me help you with some prerequisite how we go about doing this and trust that it'll change your life and you'll be different and knowing how to go about doing this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this night you've given us. Thank you so much for who you are and what you are to us. Father, I pray tonight as we look at the book of Peter, I pray that it'll be a help to us, even as we are about to read it. And I do pray, Lord, that tonight if there's any here that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I pray tonight we'll be denied the salvation for them. Father, we do know this message here is geared toward Christians, but yet and still, Lord, I do pray that you speak to hearts in such a way, Lord, if they're not saved, they'll not leave here without coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do love you tonight. I pray that you would encourage and challenge hearts in such a way that honor and glory be brought to your name. We do love you. We do thank you so much for who you are. And Father, we will give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Notice in verse 1, the Bible says, the elders which are among you, I exalt, who am also an elder and witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now notice, Peter didn't stop there. Peter looked at the suffering of Christ and also the glory that shall be revealed. He's looking at the end result. And so here he's trying to encourage. Notice what he says here to the elders. He said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, willingly, not for filthy lucre, but a ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to their flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive the crown of glory that faded not away. Now notice here in the beginning, he's speaking to the elders of the church. Today we'll call them our pastors, okay? Pastors of the day. Elders were the leaders of the church during that time. So what Peter's trying to do here from the beginning, he's trying to encourage those that are in charge here. He's saying here, listen, I was a sufferer also. And he said, listen, if you being in that position, guess what? You're going to suffer too. You're going to be persecuted. As been in the leadership, you're going to suffer. And so he's trying to encourage here the elder here that he ought to feed the flock. Now notice how he ought to feed the flock. Listen, he ought to lead, feed, and heed. Now when you said lead, feed, and heed, he ought to lead the flock. He ought to heed. And listen, be careful, feed, and he ought to heed. And he ought to know, listen to me carefully, the personnel or the personality of his flock, of the Lord's flock. And he ought to pay attention. He ought to pay attention to the word of God to know how to feed you, first of all. See, we need to rightly divide the word of God. Amen. And this pastor ought to know what you need. And praise God, how he gets it. He gets it from the word of God by way of prayer and etc. But notice, let's go a little further here. In the verse here. Notice what he says here in verse 5. Likewise, ye younger. Now, during this daytime, this particular time here, ye younger. He's speaking of deacons at the time frame. I know we have younger people here, but at that time, the deacons was younger. Notice what he says here. Now, he said, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elders. Otherwise, this wasn't a deacon-run church. There was submission unto the elders. Now, here we're looking at the prerequisites here. Now, we're looking at something. How are we going to go about casting our care? Now, number one, he says, submit. Now, notice what else he says here. Yea, all of you. Now, he's speaking to the entire congregation. Be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Let's just stop there. Let's go in there. Let's just pause right here for a minute. He said, be clothed with humility. Every one of us at the capacity, at each of our position, we ought to be servants. And listen to me, clothed with humility. In those days, they had an apron, just like someone is feeding, washing dishes or serving or whatever with that apron. He said, always be clothed with that servant attitude. You know, it reminds me of when the Lord Jesus Christ was washing feet. Remember when he was washing feet? Now, you look there in the old manner and customs, the one that invited those that came over, he normally had a slave, and the slave was at the door, okay? And they had a basin there. Now, the ones that came in, the servant, the slave, or whatever, would wash their feet. Now, if he wasn't well off enough or rich enough to hire a slave, the first one that came, guest that came, guess what? He turned around and washed the feet of the rest that came in. Now notice now, when they all came, someone was to wash feet other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But you ready for this? Now they wasn't clothed with humility. You know what they began to do? Now this is just Mike Kelly. You know what they began to do? What? I wonder who's going to wash feet today. What you think? I'm going to wash it. No, I'm going to wash his feet. Man, who he think he is? Ain't no different than I am. Who you think he is? You said all of them had pride. Listen to me carefully. Proud hearts and dirty feet. They were dirty. But Edwin had those prime hunts. And the Lord said, listen, the chaff will be clothed with humility. And guess what? They all had that body also. And then the Lord Jesus Christ. And he girded himself. And began. Then he said, what are you doing? No, he don't need to do. And that's why Peter said, oh no, no, don't wash my feet. Because listen, he know the King and the Lord of Lords, which been carefully, had humbled himself and begin to wash feet. And Peter said, no, don't you stoop down that low. Don't you do that. That was the pride in Peter. But notice after he washed feet, listen to me carefully. He didn't say, now you turn around and wash my feet, did he? He said, listen, you do unto others as I do unto you. And so he said, be clothed with humility. Now notice what he said, all of you, be clothed with humility and every capacity. Now listen to me carefully now. I want to share this with you tonight. Now he said, submit, and he mentioned humility. Now notice what he said, for God resisted the proud. Now we said we cast in our care. Every one of us got a little pride in us, don't it? Your pastor and I was talking today. You know, I said, and I was mentioning to you about May 7th. I don't know whether to share this with you or not. You may think different of me, but guess what? If you pull off your mask, you'll be the same way, okay? Now, I was telling you, my daughter's sick, and my wife is sick, and then my grandson, he was sick, and then my youngest daughter, she was sick. Now, this was last Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So I went to church by myself, okay? And that morning I got up, I cooked breakfast, man. Then I had to try to do all my work. I was tired. I'm serious. I was tired. So I went to church that night, and I received a text. I didn't answer it. But after the service was over, my daughter called me. And this is the one that just had the surgery. She's laid up and et cetera. And she said, Daddy, did you get my text? I said, well, I didn't look at it. She said, well, you need to stop by the store and I was stopping by Walmart to get some medicine for my grandson. And she said, you need to stop by the store and get your mom some soup from Dennis. Y'all ready for this? I blowed up. I go, what do y'all think I am, a handyman or something? Well, listen to me carefully. Listen, we don't mind being called the servants of God. But guess what? When servants of people, we got a problem. Pride. We only take so much. Huh? And then we burst out. Huh? But the Lord smoked my heart. He sure did, because I knew I was going to preach this. Okay, so. But guess what? Listen, we got a problem. You let a person you do so much. Oh, that's okay. Well, let me ask you something else. Huh? Hey, sir, haven't I done enough for you? And you mean you asked for something else? That's us. Pride. And y'all ready for this? He was saying he resisted the power. You ready for this now? Here's two things here. We got some folk look down on others. Okay? And then there's some that look up to others and say who they think they are. And then say, oh boy, he ain't nothing. And then nose up, nose down. At people. And that's proud. And we have a problem when it comes to serving people. And he's speaking from the top on down. He is to serve you with the word of God and give you what you need. And then he mentioned of the youngest, they submit to the elder. And then he said, all of you be clothed. Well, submit one to another. That's right. And then be clothed with what? Humility. That's a prerequisite. That's not elective. That's required. And you ready for this? I'm a failure when it comes to that. Now we talk about casting our care. Notice what else he says here. God resists the proud and give grace unto the humble. Now, notice, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and that he may exalt you in due time. Now, notice here. Now, I want to help you tonight that these are the privileges of the Christian. This is some of the privileges that we have. Notice what he says. Now, let's skip verse 7, and let's go to verse 8 here, because of a proud heart here. And let's look at verse 7, verse 8, I'm sorry. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, if that's what it said, roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. Let me help you with a proud person. Well, first of all, a proud person. He's to feed the flock. Right? And he tells him he's to submit by giving you the word of God. Now, here's the thing here. Everybody's not listening. See, there's a difference even in listening and heeding. Because when I heed, I realize responsibilities follow. So I'm going to take in everything that's being said, because guess what? I'm going to have to be able to live this. Be able to live this. You understand? He's not preaching just to preach and say, hey, pastor, oh, good message. Now it's given to you. Guess what? To be able to live it, to practice it in your life. Here is the place of being equipped. To live it out there. And see, there's people, you ready when I mention the word elective? Here people say, well, how many of you heard this before? Well, I hear what I want to hear. When I don't want to hear, I just tune it out. How many heard this? That don't apply to me. That was a good message, but I don't need that. Huh? Well, I don't need to preach. I read by myself. Or some people, I don't need to come to church. I can get it myself. Hey, I got the same Bible he got. Isn't that proud? Huh? Now notice what I'm going to say to you, okay? The devil's waiting on you. Now notice he said be sober, because you're drunk when you think that way. You're spiritually drunk when you're not getting what God wants to give you. Now notice this now about a proud person. Now notice he says in the Bible, he says a roaring lion. And that's what it says here. He said, be sober, be diligent, be on watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. I like looking at history channels. I like looking at animal channels. I was studying up on the lions. Okay, I was studying up on them, and they walked up on these. They kind of creeped up on this herd. I think they were deer. I don't know. I think they were deer. Okay, and you ready for this? Boy, they had them hemmed in. And you know what they were doing? Boy, they moved this side, and boy, they moved to the side. You know, and boy, they moved. There's about three of them, and boy, they was trying to wait to find a weak link. They're trying to sneak in. And you ready for this? One struck out. And guess what? When that one struck out, that's the one who they ran after. And you know what happened to us? Anxiety sets in. And boy, one got scared. And they didn't trust what was going on, because they stuck together. Guess what? They had power. But they stuck out. You ready for this? Ready? Let me tell you about the proud. You understand? Some of you, in the church we go to, somebody's not going to like what's being preached. And you ready for this? Then he leaves. And when he leaves, he don't go for anything better. He goes downhill. And guess what? Satan got him. Y'all understand? Now, let me say, there's another animal thing I was looking at where there's a lot of buffaloes that they had surrounded. And boy, everywhere the lions was moved, boy, they moved along with them. Boy, they wouldn't turn their head. They was watching them. They kept their eyes on it. And you ready for this? They all struck out. And boy, the lions was running behind them. Running behind them. Now, I don't know if you ever seen this before. And I said, why in the world this happened? How in the world this happened? They were running. And then when the lions began to gain on them, one just took the other buffalo, just boom, just knocked them over. And when he knocked them over, guess what? The rest of them, actually, they used them as a sacrifice. And the lion got the one that he booted over. They did it intentionally. I was just waiting to see, why did they do this? He said, no, they do this intentionally. One to the sacrifice. Hey, here's a proud person. You, when a person goes through some type of trials and tribulation, you ready for this? We become Job friends. We kick them to the curb instead of praying to them. We leave them for a sacrifice of Satan. We let Satan eat them up. And we wonder why that person hadn't come back to the church. Only person probably that's trying to follow up with him is the pastor. What about the rest of the congregation? Oh, you know what happened to so-and-so? He just quit church. Wonder why he quit church. You let somebody fall and see how we'll dig a hole and bury him. That's a proud person. I said earlier tonight, I think Pastor and I was talking to somebody. I said, you know what? Us independent Baptists, okay, we got mine. We got the doctrines right. Amen. We got the mind. Amen. And we know that the will of the God. Guess what? Well, we don't have any heart. Bunch of proud people. Now notice, humble yourself. That's a tough word, isn't it? But it's required. Boy, it's a sacrifice to humble yourself. It's a sacrifice. It hurts. The flesh don't like it. And you know what else Satan does? Listen to me carefully. He likes to divide. And he likes to defeat. And you know what he likes? He likes gossip. That's the worst of sin it is. And it ain't just among the ladies, okay? Please, don't, ladies, don't you hold your head down, because we worse than y'all is. Huh? We start out, hey, brother, let's pray for so-and-so. Yeah, you know. And then you go all in the details under the name of prayer. Let's pray for him. God resists that. And then you're open to the things of Satan. And he walk about seeking whom he may devour. Now notice, I want you to come back to verse 7. Then he says, casting all your cares upon him. Casting all your cares upon him. Now, first of all, we have to submit, be under, okay? Then we have to humble ourselves, be clothed with humility. And then we ought to humble ourselves under the mighty arms of God. And guess what? We ought to be watchful. Be sober. And guess what? Then we can come and cast our cares upon him. Now, the word casting here, as we look at the word casting here, it doesn't mean to throw. Now, we see that a lot. Means to throw. But really, in those days, it means to cast a garment. Just like in those days, in the old Norman days, during Abraham days, when they were traveling from place to place, they used a donkey. And you know what they would do? They would take that garment and they would throw it across the donkey's back. Now guess what? That garment had everything in it. They took everything. If you knitting whatever and you cast that garment, that's everything. That's not something. They cast it upon his back. Then they had to put the homemade saddle there, put on the donkey. I don't know if you know anything about donkeys. Did a little study about it. They can handle 70% of their body weight. So they was called pack animals. You can pack them. And so they would cast that garment, and then they would put that saddle on there, and then they would put the basket, had little baskets they would put on both sides, and if they had kids, they would put the kids on the, and the donkey would take them. Now notice what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He said, casting all your cares upon him. Now, notice why he said cares upon him. Number one, God knows your problems. And see, here's the thing. I mentioned about Peter. Remember I mentioned the anger problem. I remember the bitter problem or whatever. Can I tell you something? When you're going through some type of trials and tribulations, you don't take it right. Guess what? Bitterness sets in. Huh? Unforgiving spirit. You know what? We'll cast some of our problems on him. We'll cast some of them, but we won't cast everything on him. You know what we'll do? You know what we'll say? Hey, brother, this is the thing I can handle. I can handle. I got control of this. But Lord, this is the area I need help in. I got this one. I think the Lord said that we can't do nothing without him. So ain't nothing you got together. See, listen to me carefully. The thing that you think you can stand on is the thing you're going to fall on. It's because you're not depending on him. And so he said, cast all your cares upon him. Now, number one, God knows your problems. He knows when you gave them all to him. You see, the problems that we have, we cast some of them on him. You know how we walk around with bitterness and unforgiving spirit and all the time? You know why? Because we haven't given everything to him. Huh? You know what? I'm studying on a book about integrity. You know what? You know what? One of the things about lying. How many times we lie? Just a little simple thing. We can lie, can't we? Now some of y'all looking at me real strange. How many times somebody calls you and tell them I ain't home? Huh? How many times somebody asks you how you doing? You say, I'm doing okay when you're not. Is that the truth? A lie. So he said, cast all your cares. It humbles and said, Lord, I'm a liar. Please help me in my line. Now raise your hand today if you came to the Lord and said, Lord, help me with my line today. Nobody. Proud. And sometimes we stress the truth too, don't we? We even do it in our testimonies. You know, somebody have a boy, you got to beat that one. You got to top that one. You know what I tell folk at the time, I say it in a joking way. You're both talking, talking. I ain't going to call them names. Boy, don't give me a chance to talk at all sometimes. Just talk, 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 talk. You know, I say, hey, bro, let me tell a few lies every now and then. That to shut them up. hey, bro, I ain't lying. But think about it. We're liars. And we tell people we'll be a certain place at a certain time. We know we're not going to be there on time. Huh? You know my wife says, honey, why you tell that man that? You know you're not going to be there on time. I was like, shut up. But lie. And see, he said, cast all your burdens upon. And you know you're the liar. You know it. Y'all probably won't have me back, but I call you a liar, right? But he said, cast all your cares. Proud heart. Cast them. That's a problem that we have that he hates. So he was talking about it in Sunday school this morning. Proud look. He hates those things. He hates them. That's a problem. If he hates them, that means we got a problem. And notice, this is the privilege of a Christian that we can take those things. Look, the Lord wants us to be open. Like pastor's talking about being transparent. You know what? You know how we treat the Lord? We treat him just like we treat each other. Well, he don't know about it. I figure you don't know about it. He don't know about it. That's a lie. Now notice, he knows your problem. He's interested in you and your problem. Think about that. He concerned himself with the things that interest you. See, if it doesn't interest you, he can't do nothing about it. If you don't see you got a problem, he can't do nothing about it. Do y'all understand that? That's humbling. That's being a servant. That's giving everything to him. And if we don't do that, listen to me carefully, that's why we have the problems that we have. We do. And you know what? Boy, continue to mess with the conscience, don't it? And you know, we try to wipe it away. And it's still there. Notice what he says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cared for you. Now you think about this. Think about the Lord was saying, I wish they'd give me everything. I wish they'd give me everything. Come on, give me everything. Come on. Come on. And I believe we grieve the Spirit of God. Say, hey, whoa, that, no, come on. Come on, that ain't it. Come on. Like my wife, sometime I give her something and she says, I know you got more than that to give me. Come on now, come on. And I found out, okay. But you know, Lord said, hey, guess what? That's more you got to tell me. Come on, that's more you got to cast. Come on, that's not it. And you know what we do? We walk away. Oh, proud heart. Lord, that's all I'm going to give you. We don't say it verbally, but Lord, that's all I'm going to give you. And then we walk away with the same problem. Notice, if we go about this thing like I was saying tonight, notice what else he says in verse 9. Let's go to verse 9. He said, who resisted steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know what he's saying here? Hey, he said, there's others that have gone through what you've gone through. Guess what? And they have made it. They've accomplished. They've got through. Pastor was saying this morning, and I said tonight, guess what? It's the worst thing to think that you're the only one. You're singing yourself out. But he said, boy, isn't this encouraging? He said, there's others. Been through some of the same thing y'all been through. Guess what? Hey, they made it through. How they made it? How did they make it? Humble themselves. Submitted. Humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. That's what they did. Hey, they was honest. They was open to God. They gave God everything. They realized that they couldn't do anything without God. That's why they was casting everything. Cast all your cares. Cast it all. Everything. Even the little things that you think that are little. There's no such thing a little sin and a big sin. Sin is sin. And persecutions and suffering will cause you to get off track. But notice what he says here, and I'm going to move on. Now, notice what he says here. Now, if we do things in the right way and stick to it like we should, now, here's some things that are going to happen here. Now, notice that there's a song that I like, you know, cast your burden upon the Lord, you cast your cares, or burden upon the Lord and leave him there. Remember that? Cast your burden upon the Lord and leave him there. Now, I like the song. But it's not right. Because you don't cast your burden upon the Lord and leave him there. You know what the Lord wants you to do? And I'm going to show you in the scriptures here. He wants you to cast your burdens upon him, then he wants you to stay there. Because he's going to do a work in your life if you stay there. Now, oh yeah, you ought to cast your burdens there. You ought to cast them. But guess what? But he said, why are you casting? Not only I care about your burden, but I care for you too. And that's what it said, for he cared for you. So he want both. Want your burdens and he wants you to. Otherwise, he wants all of you. Because he's going to do something. Now, notice what he says. And we're going to finish here in a minute here. Notice what he says here. He said, but, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while. Isn't God in control of this thing? Hey, listen, be careful. After you suffered a while. That means there's a point where. That don't mean you're not going to go through it again now. But after you suffered a while. There's some point, you know, when I'm going to cut it off. There's some point when I'm going to relieve you. You know, and there's a time when you look back and say, whew, boy, I'm glad I got out of that one. And you know, the Lord is saying, hey, another going to come your way. But look at this now. I want you to see this now. After you have suffered for a while, notice what it says here. And I love this. But after you have suffered a while, notice what he says here. Make you perfect. Whew. Let's just look at this word here. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 1:19. Because I want to help you with this word perfect here. I understand it means complete. I understand it means mature. But I want to show you in the passage of scripture where this is going to take you here. And this word here it means katartizo, okay, if you're looking in the Greek here. Now notice that Mark 1:19. Okay, I think Mark is still here, isn't he? I was at a missions conference, brother, and Ronnie Machops and the guy that the pastor that was preaching said to turn to the book of Jonah, and I was running my mouth, and then I was trying to find Jonah, and I couldn't find Jonah to save my life. I said to myself, Jonah must have ran off again. I was so embarrassed. I went to First Kings and said, well, that's the king. They said, where's Jonah? He said, I don't know. He hadn't got here yet. Let's look at 19. Let's look back up a little bit. Look at verse 17. Okay, to 19. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Verse 19. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also who were in the ship. What's the next word? Mending their nets. They were mending their nets. Now this word, go back to 1 Peter here. Now the word here, perfect here, means to men. If you look it up and you see the word men. Now what word men mean? Listen to me carefully. What they were doing, they were mending their nets. You know what they were doing? They were putting things back together again. And the Lord said, hey, after you suffered a while, after you've been broken up, after you've been torn up, hey, if you've cast all your burdens upon me, and that's because I care for you, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to put you back together again. He said, I'm going to repair you. I'm going to restore you. And what he said, I'm going to put you back together again. But guess what? That's from humbling yourself under the mighty hands of God And guess what? He said, I'll put you back together again. Now, notice not only does he say he'll put it back together again. Notice what else he says here in this verse here. He used the word perfect, and then he used the word establish. And I like that word establish here. Now, he means that you'll be set fast and that you'll be unmovable. Listen to me carefully. Now, he's saying here, now I'm going to put you back together, and the next time, guess what? You'll be unmovable. And then he used the word strengthen you. You ready for this? He said, I'm going to strengthen you so much because of your faith in me, and you cast everything upon me. Guess what? You'll be able to tough it out the next time. I'm going to give you more power. It won't be as bad the next time because you place your faith in me. Isn't that something? How many times you're going through trial and tribulation and you take things in the right way, boy, it's not as bad as it used to be. And he said, I'll strengthen you. So I put you back together. Now you think about it. Now their nets were broken, torn apart. But guess what, bro? They putting it back together. You know what? I've been fishing before with a line. If they broke my line, I put it back. I said, guess what? It's going to be more supportive the next time. And God is strengthening you for the next time and prepare you for the next time that you can help someone else. And the Bible tells us that we ought to comfort others as comfort them with any trouble with the same comfort with you ourselves with the comfort of God. For he's a God of all comfort who comforts us in all our tribulation that we may be able, I get it right, that we may be able to comfort them also with any trouble. He said, I strengthen you so much this time. You ready for this? You want to look for somebody else that have gone through the same thing that someone else have gone through. He said, I'll use you. I'll put you in them. And you know what we normally do? You ready for this? How can I help him when I can't help myself? But when God strengthens you, guess what? And you can be a help to someone else. Then he used the word settle. I like that word, settle you. Now, notice, I haven't done a whole lot with concrete. But I know this word settle, it also means to consolidate. And all three of these words, some was like synonyms. You know, you can just about all put them together. But it means to consolidate. Y'all know about consolidating, don't you? You always get a phone call from the loan company and say, if you put this bill and that bill and this bill and that bill and got yourself in a world of trouble, I understand that. But this is not what this means here. It means to consolidate. How many of you dealt with concrete before? Anybody dealt with concrete? Okay, you know, you use water, all right? You use the sand, you use the mix. Then you use a little bar in there for support, don't you? The little bar support. And you put all those things together, and you get ready for this, and you let it sit for a while. When it all comes together, and the Lord said, hey, I'm going to put you back together again. And when I put you back together again, guess what? You're going to be solid. Why? Because you're standing on a firm foundation. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, listen to me carefully. Hey, I'm going to make you perfect. He said, I'll put you back together again. And then I'm going to establish you. And I'm going to settle you. I'm going to establish you. And then I'm going to settle. And he said, when I put you back together again, guess what? You'll be so reinforced with my power that you'll be able to take it. And guess what? Others will look at you and say, man, all these things that man is going through, how in the world could he handle it? How in the world could he go through stuff like that and be able to handle it? Notice, this is the reason why. And we'll be done. Notice, verse 11. He said, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, which Silvanus was a friend of Paul's as well. I think he was the one that delivered the letter, etc. A faithful brethren unto you, I suppose. I have written briefly, exalting and testifying that this is, help me with the next few words here. This is what? The true grace of God wherein ye stand. Think about the true grace of God. You know what he's saying here? He said, if you cast all your burdens upon him and you do things in the right way, then you activate God. See, he resists the proud. But by you doing the things in the right way, giving them to him and casting everything to him, guess what? Then he goes to work. And guess what? And when he said, this is the true grace of God, listen, the same grace that saved us, listen to me carefully. He said, listen, this is the grace. The true grace of God. Now notice what he's saying here. This grace is God doing that for you. the things that you cannot do for yourself. He said, you cast them from me. You can't do nothing with them. Would you give them to me? I'll do something with them. Isn't that something? Isn't that the privileges? What privileges that we have as a Christian, and the protection that we have that he cared for us, and the patience that he gave us for a while, and then the promises that he gave us that he's gonna put us back together again, and guess what? He's gonna establish us and strengthen us, and then he's gonna make us then settle us. He said, hey, this is the true grace of God. Nothing to do with you. He said, you give them to me, and I'll do something for you you cannot do for yourself. Whew. Isn't that something? How many of you like that? But see, a proud heart, he said, uh-uh. See, you know what a proud heart does? It takes the place of God. And he said, okay, all right. I'll let you go ahead on fall. But guess what? When you humble yourself, he says, hey, I'll do a work for you. Boy, I'll bring you out of this thing. And boy, then you'll see the true grace of God. And you'll give him all the honor and the glory of what has taken place in your life. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cared for you. How many times we've quoted that scripture? Boy, we didn't go back and look at the prerequisites. How do we get to that point? And the point is, you better get things out of your life. Empty yourself onto him. And guess what? You'll get something in return. Isn't that something? Boy, what you get in return? Boy, you get put back together again. Because see, if you're proud-hearted, guess what? You're not in your right mind. Huh? And you know what this does? This takes you off of, listen to me carefully, even we're in a Satan's world. But you know what? It puts your guards up because you're depending on him. Not yourself. And he can watch all he wants to. When you're trusting in him, he'll do all it. He'll take care of you, won't he? He will take care of you. Let me have you to stand, please.